Good morning. This morning we are reading from Acts chapter 13, reading from verse 13 to the end. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian, Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not that one. No, but he is coming after me.' Whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, children of Abraham, you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers do not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news, what God promised our fathers. He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm. You are my son. Today I have become your father. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified. From everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews, devout converts to Judaism, followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Ah. Well done. Is anybody asleep? So anybody that's got a dinner appointment or got your dinner in the oven, I suggest you get it turned off, because as you can see with all those passages, this is going to be a long service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to us today through your word. And I pray today, nothing from my mouth that you don't want will come out. I pray you'll guide everything. And Lord, that everyone here will receive what you want them to receive. May it be life-changing, in Jesus' name. Amen. I do believe that when the word of God is shared, that it is life-changing. And I'm sure every one of you are the same. So it's a large passage, and I was praying, Lord, what is it you want me to deliver to Louth this day? And Chris said to me, if you want to just pull a verse out, then do that. But I couldn't. And I went away on holiday to Whitby, and this is what I believe that God wants you to hear. I don't know where you're at, but God does. So this word, I believe, is for you. I'm sure you've all done, because I think, are you going through a series? You're going through the series of Acts, are you? Yeah. So you know that there's two Antiochs. The Antioch that they were at was a missional church that sent Paul and Barnabas out, and it went from Syria, and then they are now in Antioch in Galatia, now known as Turkey. Isn't it amazing that Turkey is a Muslim country? And yet this is where Paul first preached. On the Sabbath day, Paul enters the synagogue. You see, Paul had a heart for the Jews. He wanted them to have every opportunity to hear the word of God. Every opportunity. They wanted them to know about Jesus. How many of us have a heart for people? We want them to know about Jesus, yet they have other faiths. They worship other idols. But Paul went to the synagogue, and he sat and he listened to the readings, and he listened to the prophets. And then, because he was a visitor, they asked him if he had a word. Wow. What an opportunity for Paul to stand up and give it to them. They weren't expecting it, but he was going to give it. He'd had a preparing of a heart during the journey, and he was going to give it to them with like that. But Paul still had a heart for the Jews to come to know Christ, and we're told that in Romans 10:1. It says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Paul was given this opportunity to try and bring the Jews to sense, to recognize Jesus. But how was he going to do that? We too need to be ready, always ready to share the gospel. Always have something, practice some verses in the scripture. Think of your testimony. Be ready to share, whether it's at work, whether it's in the coffee shop, whether it's at a school gate, whether it's shopping and you're in a queue. God will show you that opportunity if you're prepared. Ask him, whoever is in my path today, enable me to speak to them about Jesus. That's how we should be. We should be have that desire that Paul had to spread the good news. Paul was determined that he was going to tell the Jews all that he had learnt through coming to know Jesus. So I believe it's about the history. So my main focus today is about our identity in Christ. And to learn our identity, I believe, is the foundation of our walk with Jesus. Unless we know who we are in Christ, how can we step out and share it with somebody else? Because unless we're confident in who we are, we're not going to be confident to share with people that don't yet know. It's for every one of us to do that. That's why we're here today, to come together, to plug in, to encourage one another, to step out and share the good news. So I'm going to speak about three areas: the history, what Christ did, and how to claim our identity. That's my plan. Whether the Spirit has another idea, we'll see. So Paul reminds the Jews of their history. You see, they were reading about it every Sabbath. They read all the Torah. They shared what the prophets had said. They read it every Saturday. And Paul is just reminding them of what they've already heard. He's reminding them of what God has done for them over all the years to this point. He's saying, look at the Moses and Abraham, and look at how you were saved from your years of captivity in Egypt. He's reminding them of their history. They already knew, but he's reminding them of what God has done for them in the past. He said, look what God's done for you. Look what he did. Don't forget your history. He's reinforcing the facts. All the facts that despite their ancestors' wickedness, he still saved them from their enemies. He was still there with them. Not because of the Israelites' goodness, but because of the evil in the land. We can read about that in Deuteronomy 9, 4 to 6, but I won't read that, but read it. Deuteronomy 9, 4 to 6 talks about it's not because of your righteousness. You know, it isn't because of our righteousness that Jesus went to the cross. It's because of the wickedness in the land. And we need to grasp that. That in Christ we are righteous, but at the moment there's wickedness in the land. I'm sure every one of you will know. Every time we put on the news, every time we look at the social media, somebody has been killed by someone else. Two 30-odd-year-olds killed by a 17-year-old on a beach in Bournemouth, I think it was yesterday. It's happening all around us. If you can't accept that that's wickedness, we should be praying for these people. They're not wicked. There's evil in the land, and we need to change things. Martin and I were at a conference recently, and what the speaker really spoke to me, we had quite a lot, but the one that really spoke to me was, we need to get back to the Word. We need to get back and live what it says, because the Word will set us free. And it's time that we read it and digested it and let it ferment in our hearts, that it comes out in our words. The words we use should speak to other people. But what we've tended to do is speak a language that is reversed. This is what I believe. We speak things like, I know God is good, but my finances are in a state. Or, I know God is good, but my health isn't right. We need to spin it round and say, I know my finances aren't good, but God is Jehovah Jireh. I know that I'm sick at the moment, but God is Jehovah Rapha. We need to start and speak a language that reverses it. I know that this world is full of wickedness, but God can change things. I know that I am struggling, but God is a God of love. We need to grasp this for ourselves, personal, not what our husbands think, our wives think, our children, our friends. It's about us and God. We need to grasp it. We need to know what his word says. Because when we look and grasp the word for ourselves and ask God how we're to apply it, then we'll make a difference and we'll see a difference in our land. Sometimes you have to love the unlovable. Our fellowship is different in so many ways. And it's taken a time to grasp what God is saying for our fellowship. And we started to realize that we didn't really understand what family was. Because in this day and age, family isn't always what we think it is. And people don't always understand family as we understood it. I'm in my 60s, and yet I know a family unit different to what some people in our fellowship know. And so we have to be that family unit, and we have to show them what family is, because their history is not the same as our history, and our history is not the same as theirs. Paul explains how David points the way to Jesus. In verse 23, it said, "From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Saviour Jesus, as he promised." And Romans 1:3 says, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Spirit regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David." Bear with me. I get passionate and dry up. Paul was building a foundation that they would come to know that they needed to change, that they needed to change direction. We're no different. We need to look at what God has done for us. And even if you've had a really carefree life, even if you've had lots of traumas, there's a Saviour that changes all that. We need to remember what God has done, what Jesus did on the cross. We need to remember that he died on a cross for me and you, because we were born in sin. We were sinners until we accepted Jesus. And people don't like to talk about that. They don't like to talk about sin, because sin is something that we do like Gideon in the wine press. We hide away. We hide it away. Not that he was sinning, but we try to hide it. But actually, God sees it all. We need to thank Jesus that he went to the cross for us. So what did Christ do? Paul declares that Jesus was God's answer for Israel. He was the promised Redeemer, and he was laying down the foundation that they would understand the importance of Jesus and what he'd done for them. Paul is holding no punches. He said that Jesus was foretold by the prophets, and yet they didn't see it. Jesus came as a Jew in all humanity from the line of David. He reminded them that John the Baptist and how he'd preached repentance and baptism, remembering that repentance isn't just saying sorry like the kids do, sorry, and then going the same way. It's about turning round. It's about changing direction. When we accept Jesus into our life, we've changed direction. Complete direction. But we have to be reminded and keep focused on God. But what happened with the Jews? They were focusing on the law. They were totally bound by the law, so much so that they were missing the truth of Jesus. They were so bound with getting everything out in the right way and saying the right things and doing everything in the right order. They were implementing the law and the rules, but they were making it a heavy burden. They drifted away from the truth. I believe nowadays that if we're not careful, we do that to people. I believe that we bound people by man-made rules and traditions, and we don't allow for freedom. We say to people, "We love you, come and join us. Come and be part of this family because we're here to love you. And if we're not careful, we can say, but you must no longer swear. You must no longer take drugs. You must no longer drink too much. You must no longer mix with them people. All we do is put burdens and chains around them that burden them and bind them. Am I saying that you shouldn't correct? Not at all. But we start with them where they are. And we build up a relationship of love and respect. And then they'll allow us to talk into their lives. We have to love as Jesus first loved us. We have to show them a new way. And if we're bound by tradition, by how we have to do things, the way the Baptists say we have to do it, I can say that because I was a Baptist, the way our fellowship says we have to do it, the Church of England say we have to do it. No, we need to seek God. What is God saying? What is God saying? Yes, we come together on a Sunday to plug in and encourage one another to go out for the rest of the week. But if you're the same when you go out as you were when you come in, what are we doing? Are we making a mistake? You see, Jesus came to show the way and change lives. And this is what Paul is trying to say. Break the chains of your laws and your rules because Jesus came to fulfill the laws. Paul tells the good news of Jesus, declaring that God raised him from the dead, that he experienced death, burial, and resurrection, as was told in Isaiah 55:3, that he would never be subject to decay. And in verse 39, it states that everyone who believes in Jesus will be set free. Set free. Jesus came to give us freedom. And I don't know about you, but I find myself sometimes putting myself in chains of how I should be, what I should do, what I should say. But actually he said, Mandy, be you. Why am I at the Oldford Church? Why did I leave Borough Baptist Church to go to Oldford? God called me. Why? Because he knew my experiences would reach the people there. Not because I'm better. I think I shared with you all the last time I came. You know, my daughter's been in prison. My other daughter is very seriously mentally ill. I've got one in the middle that's a paramedic that she's got, you know, and every one of them. But I love her. As the prodigal son says, we should love them. I don't try to change Stacey. I try to love her to change. And we decided as a family that we were no longer going to put requests in for our children. My children are 42 and 44. And it was no longer a request. We changed our prayers to be blessings. Because I believe if you pray blessings over people, they can't be cursed. And I know that my family have been cursed because why would they be drug dealers and drug addicts? Because they've got an illness, a curse. But it says in the word that Jesus is a healer. So we pour blessings upon them. And just off the cuff, because I do this all the time, I had a phone call from my daughter that she's homeless at the moment, and she'd met this lad and they were speaking, and I'm just thinking, oh, here we go again, you know, what's he? But Martin said to me, no, we're praying blessings. And he said to me, Mandy, have you heard of the Alpha? So I'm going, what do you mean by Alpha? So he said, oh, I run an Alpha group. So I'm like, this can't be true. We're like, faith, Mandy, faith. So I said, oh, yeah. He said, that girl and the man that do it and they go around, don't you think it's a lot better than the other Alpha? And I was like, really? I didn't run Alpha till I moved to Alpha. But yeah, really good. this is a joke, he's found this. And then he goes on to tell me, he says, I've been trying to speak to Jesus, about Jesus, to Stacey and Hannah, their twins. And he said, they're just rejecting it at the minute. But Mandy, I believe there's seeds being sown. Well, I shared this last Sunday. Gets home Sunday night and she's giving them the push. So Martin goes, remember, blessings. So we're playing blessings, yeah. Well, as long as it lasts, probably half an hour, that were it, but hey. Anyway, I'm on the phone to her the other night and there's Martin again. So who knows but God. God's having a laugh because he says, Mandy, stop trying to control things. I'm in control. Stop trying to control your life because God wants you to surrender it. And while we're trying to move it, we're not surrendered, are we? This is nothing like what I was going to preach, but hey. God died and was resurrected for our salvation, yours and mine, and everyone out there that needs to know. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you are given a new identity. My identity up until the age of 20 was I'll never be good enough. I wasn't wanted. I wasn't really loved. I would never be come to be anything. I met my late husband at 16. I married him at 18. And it was a very difficult journey because he developed, in his early 30s, he developed motor neurone disease. I didn't know, even though I came to know Jesus and I surrendered my life and accepted the way that the family went, accepted that he was in all things, I still felt I wasn't good enough. And up until 2 years ago, I still didn't grasp the full identity of who I was in Christ. Now I know that it isn't about the external things. It isn't about what I own. It isn't about my family. I'm not who my dad said I was. I am not who my teacher said I was. I am who Jesus says I am, and I'm loved. And I am part of a family that belongs to him. I am cloaked in a cloak of righteousness. I am forgiven, and so are you. If you've accepted Jesus in your life, then everything else is cast off because you are who God says you are. You are precious. You are a masterpiece. You are an overcomer. And I'm sorry, Helen, but Helen is an overcomer. She still comes in here smiling, and yet we all know what she's gone through. She's an overcomer with Christ. She said to me today, I don't know how people do grieving without Christ. No, I don't either, do you? In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live. It's Christ who lives in me. The Jews and the religious leaders were jealous. Their whole town came out the next Sabbath to hear about Jesus. I pray that our whole town comes out one day because they want to hear about Jesus, because they've seen the way we've loved those that are unlovable, and they want to know why we love them, how we can do what we do because we love them. Is that what you want? Do you want the unlovable to come here? Because I would. Because how can we? How can we sit before Jesus if we don't love all? So how do you claim your identity? In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him. When I did your identity in Christ, a lot of people struggle to understand how you can be in Christ and Christ in you. And I had this bucket of water and I said, that is Christ. That is Jesus. That is full to the overflowing. And I picked up a little communion cup and I put it in. You couldn't see it, The communion cup was hidden in Jesus, but when you pull it out, you're full of Jesus. That's who you are. That's who you are. You're in Jesus right now, and he is in you, overflowing. We should be showing that. We should be confident to share our testimonies with everyone. It ain't about, and that is amazing what you're doing on the 9th of July, but it ain't just about what happened when I was 20. There's a lot happened since then, and I expect a testimony every day. Do you? God works every single day. It's amazing. Sylvia. You don't have to have the greatest of testimonies. Some of the new Christians that have no knowledge or very little knowledge have the most amazing testimonies. We need to stop worrying about what we know, because God in you will give you the right words. Jesus is offering life, and life in all its fullness. I'm sorry this is going on, but I'm going to carry on. Go like that if you want me to shut up. I know a God of abundance. Even in my struggles, I know a God who I want to share with others, because he's amazing. We've seen miracles in our fellowship. We've seen a lady that was diagnosed with brain cancer. The CT scan showed a brain cancer. We prayed and prayed. She went for an MRI scan, no signs of cancer. We have a young lady that has diagnosed with breast cancer, a great big lump that even I could feel it. It was protruding out. She is having treatment, but the oncologist can't find a lump. That isn't treatment, that's God. And it's time we started to declare it. I love the idea that you're having this testimony, but shouldn't we have a testimony every day, every week, when we get together of what God has done to encourage others? See, I know there's an omnipresent God. I know there's a God that's over in Kenya, where my heart is, as well as here, where I'm stood. I know that. But I want to see it. I want to see the miracles. I want to see the dead raised. Do you? I want to see the blind see. Does that say it in the word? Isn't that the truth? We should be declaring this for our old town. The Jews were filled with jealousy, but they still rejected the message. And they created bad feeling and they slandered Paul. Yet the word still spread throughout the region. Then Paul and the team shook the dust off the feet and moved on, and they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Don't be turned away from your God-given task by abuse. As a pastor or a leader, you take that on. It was hard for me with an open heart, but I had to take it on. The people that don't like me, and that's fine, because I am who God created me to be. If you speak in the truth of God, you will be blessed. Do not compare yourself to others. Don't compare your fellowship here with ours, because it will never be the same. Different area. God wants us to be different. We're unique. We are unique. You're unique. You're unique. You're unique in Christ. This is unique for you, because God knows what this fellowship here needs. He knows what this community here needs. You probably wouldn't fit where we are. That isn't that you've got it wrong and we've got it right, or we've got it wrong and you've got it right. It's because God. But God. Paul turned away from the Jews and spoke to the Gentiles, and they received eternal life. Without knowing and accepting our history, how can we grasp our identity in Christ and the vastness of what he has done for us? It is through the history of God and the sacrifice of Jesus that we can see that we are forgiven, we have eternal life, and we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Even though we live in 2024, defined by the birth of Jesus, most of the world has forgotten. Our Christian history is not taught in schools. It's not promoted by media. Therefore, people have lost their identity and are searching in the wrong places. Our role is to tell the good news, make sure we don't get bound by tradition and bind others and miss the freedom that we are given in Christ. To conclude, like Paul, we need to tell people of their history. Like Paul, some will listen and some will stir up trouble against you. We have to be confident in who we are in Christ and know when to shake the dust off our sandals and move on. Be assured, if we live in the will of God, we will be filled with the joy and Holy Spirit. Amen.